It has been noted by many observers that Ahmed al-Shara, Syria's president, has gotten a major makeover. At one time, he was a militant jihadist who showed no respect for ethnic or religious differences and felt free to order his fighters to massacre Alawis, Christians, and Yazidis. But now, with a trimmed beard and a new suit, he's been receiving fellow heads of state from the Middle East and elsewhere. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Charles Glass, a journalist who's written about the Middle East for many years, around the time President Trump announced the lifting of U.S. sanctions on Syria. Glass's latest book is Syria, Civil War to Holy War. He talked about al-Shara, the new Syrian government, and the overall situation in the country.
His wartime name was Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, Jolani being for the Golan Heights, because that's where his family came from. They were expelled by the Israelis in 1967 from their home in the Golan Heights. He grew up in Damascus, and during the Syrian uprising, well, actually before, he went to Iraq to fight against the Americans. He was imprisoned by the Americans for 6 years as a jihadist. When he was released, he joined another al-Qaeda group. He fought in Syria and in Iraq. He distanced himself after 2016 when the Syrian government was winning the war. He distanced himself from al-Qaeda, the al-Qaeda groups, and led his own group with Turkish backing called Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. And it's Hayat Tahrir al-Sham that is now governing Syria, most of Syria, under his leadership. When he got to Damascus after Bashar al-Assad fled on December the 8th, he changed his clothes from battle fatigues. He trimmed his beard. He wears a suit and tie. But his metamorphosis was more than just the clothes and the beard. He changed his tune. He said where the jihadis during the war were killing Christians and members of the Alawite Muslim majority who were the same religion as the president. They were killing them and telling them there was no place for them in Syria. When he came to power in Damascus, he began to cultivate these groups. He held meetings of bishops. He let the Christians celebrate Christmas and Easter, as they always have. And he's trying to present himself as a more inclusive, incredible figure for all of Syria, not just for Sunni fundamentalists. His problem, of course, is that while that looks good to some of the minorities, and it looks good to Donald Trump, it may not look good to many of the jihadis who fought for 14 years to bring an Islamic state and not to bring a democracy.
And what about those other Islamist groups? Are they resentful now that Shara's group has taken power?
Well, they control small portions of the country, particularly in the northwest between the government areas and the Kurdish areas. And they're not going along with it. They have put out posts saying that they regard him as having betrayed the holy cause of bringing an Islamic state to Syria. But to his credit, he is winning over more of the Syrian population by this talk of having a Syria for all Syrians, so that the Alawis and the Christians and the Ismailis and the Druze are not frightened into leaving the country. Although I have to say many of them are still frightened because they remember his group's record during the war, that they were indeed Islamic fundamentalists. And many of the Alawis and Christians that I know, I left Syria in January, but many of them are still in touch with me saying they were desperate to get visas and to get out of the country because they fear for their lives.
So from your vantage point, do you think the new Syrian leadership is sincere in its statements about bringing the country together and not going after certain minority groups?
Well, the short answer is I don't know. There were several hundred Alawis killed in the Northwest in March by Islamic fundamentalists who nominally support Shara. He said that they were rogue elements and that he was going to try to control them. So far, no one's been arrested. Alawis who live in Damascus are afraid. Their neighborhood, which is called Meze 86, is surrounded by HDS checkpoints. And so everyone coming in and out is observed by them. And they feel that it's a little bit intimidating for them. Many of the children, Alawi children, receive social media posts on their phones saying that they're going to be killed, even by fellow students at the universities and the schools where they're studying. So there is an atmosphere of fear. It's hard to know how seriously Ahmed al-Shara takes that and how much he was either willing or able to control it.
And meanwhile, Trump is hinting at lifting the sanctions on Syria while the U.S. ally Israel has been bombing the country. And what do you make of that? What's going on there?
Well, Trump has said he is going to lift the sanctions on Syria and that this will give the Syrian economy a chance to start up again. They'll be able to deal with the international banking system. They'll be able to import and export goods. And you remember, Syria is a country that's completely devastated by war. 14 years of war has left, the infrastructure of the country absolutely wrecked. Not as bad as Gaza, but nearly as bad as Gaza. I mean, in Damascus, for example, they're lucky to have 2 hours a day of electricity. People are suffering, and they need to end the sanctions in order to rebuild the country, rebuild the infrastructure, and have a reason to stay in Syria and go on living in Syria. Israel seems to want to keep a very weak regime in Damascus that will never threaten Israel in any way, which is why they bombed weapons stores and places where the Syrian army had been, where the Israelis, or Benjamin Netanyahu, does not want the Shara government to have access to those weapons that the army left behind.
Can you see a conflict developing between Trump and the Israelis over Syria?
Conflict? No, certainly a difference of opinion. I mean, Israel can go on bombing it, and the U.S. will go on providing the weapons that enables Israel to bomb Gaza and parts of Lebanon and parts of Syria.
But I would imagine Shara would say, we don't like that, and you need to help us stop it, right?
He can say anything he likes, but he doesn't have many cards to play. I mean, just ending the sanctions will benefit him enormously. Rebuilding his army is something that the Israelis probably do not want to happen. And he's going to find it very difficult. And if he can't rebuild his army, he may not be able then to control those Islamists who want to terrify Christians and Alawis and Druze.
Is there any indication so far that Syria will have some kind of representative government?
Well, they put out a constitutional declaration which calls for that, but apparently there won't be elections for another 4 years. So it'll be like every other Arab state, really an unelected semi-dictatorship.
And what about the former members of the Syrian army under Assad? Where are they now?
Well, most of them have been dismissed. The ones who were Alawis, and there are large numbers of them, have gone back home to their areas in Mez 86 in Damascus and to the villages along the northwest coast of Syria in what's called Jebel Alawi, the Alawi Mountain. Many of them still have their arms, and they have attacked some of the HTS patrols in their areas.
And then what about the situation with the Kurds and the Turks attacking the Kurds? How does the government relate to that, the new government?
Shara's government has done an agreement with the Kurds of the Northwest, who are backed by the United States, to reintegrate them into the Syrian state, and the Kurds have accepted that. The PKK, which is the Turkish-Kurdish underground movement, which has been fighting a war in southeast Turkey for, I don't know, 20-odd years, maybe no more. They have disarmed. They are in the process of disarming because their leader, who's in prison in Turkey, Abdullah Öcalan, has ordered them to disarm and end the war against the Turkish state. So things are looking pretty good for Erdogan vis-a-vis the Kurds. He also wants to get Kurdish votes in Turkey in the upcoming election.
So you could foresee that there will be some sort of legitimate election in 4 years?
I can't foresee anything. I don't have a crystal ball. Many things can happen between now and then. Someone might assassinate Shara. There could be internal conflict within his movement. The Israelis could bomb his forces more dramatically than they have in the past. Any number of things could happen. And so also outside powers could arm some of the groups in Syria that are unhappy with the way things are. I mean, the outside powers, and I include now Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the UAE, the United States, and Turkey, have been meddling in Syria since 2011 when the conflict began. And some of them will go on meddling until they have an incentive to stop. Everything is precarious.
And what about the people who are involved in the local coordination committees back when the rebellion against Assad first started? Do you know where they're at now? Are they openly in opposition, or are they supporting the new government?
Well, they were sidelined when the demonstrations gave way to violence in 2012. And I knew many of them. They were very idealistic young people, mainly university students, who thought the only way to get rid of Bashar al-Assad's dictatorship was by civil disobedience, demonstrations, and so on, that the regime wouldn't know how to cope with that. But those who wanted to take up arms and fight a holy war against him got the upper hand. So they were actually rendered irrelevant many years ago Many of them were imprisoned by Assad. Many of them fled the country. Some of them are still out of the country. Some have come back and want to participate. We'll see if they're going to be able to participate.
And then did some join the Free Syrian Army?
Some did join the Free Syrian Army, yes, and some left the country.
And where is that army now?
No idea.
You just don't hear about them.
I haven't heard anything about them. Even when I was in Damascus, no one was talking about them. I think they were also, just as the peaceful demonstrators were overshadowed by the jihadis, so the Free Syrian Army was overshadowed by the jihadis, who were actually much better fighters than the Free Syrian Army. They were willing to risk their lives more effectively than the Free Syrian Army, who tried to behave as an army. And the jihadis behaved as jihadis and would do suicide bombings and take out Syrian army positions that way and then open up the way for their comrades to take over.
How much influence do you think Turkey will have in Syria at this point?
Turkey is the main benefactor and enabler of Shara's organization. The Turkish foreign minister, when he was head of military intelligence, he said this in an interview with French television, that he had been running Ahmad Shara, cooperating with him on intelligence matters for many years. So Turkey will have an overwhelming say in what happens in Syria.
And anything else you'd like to add to what you've said?
I think it's probably going to be good for the Syrian people that the sanctions are being lifted. We saw that when Assad was in power, and the sanctions were put in because of Assad, because the Western world wanted to get rid of Assad, that it actually didn't hurt his regime very much. They found other sources of income, mainly illegal drug dealing. But the people suffered a lot. And I think now the new regime, with its help from Turkey, can survive even under sanctions, but the country can't. And so it's probably a good thing for the people to have a chance to go back to school, go back to their jobs, rebuild the factories, get the farms going again, and make the country workable.
And will this new government, does that mean that the relations between Syria and the rest of the Arab world will be improved, would you say?
It's already improved. Shara has been to Riyadh. He met Trump in Riyadh. He's been to Jordan. He's invited the president of Lebanon to Damascus. He's already, reconstructed the bridges that were taken down when Bashar al-Assad was president.
And as far as the Saudis go, wasn't the enmity or hostility between the Saudis and Syria, didn't that have to do with Syria's alliance with Iran somewhat?
It was one of many factors. Also, Bashar al-Assad would not kowtow to the Saudis sufficiently to their liking. And now Iran is out of Syria, so that obstacle is gone.
And there's some sort of rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia, would you say, or the beginnings of one?
There has been. No, they established diplomatic relations a few years ago. And they are talking, and the Saudis have been encouraging these talks that the Americans are having with Iran over the nuclear issue, which the Israelis are very much against the Americans going behind their back and negotiating with Iran.
That's veteran writer and journalist Charles Glass speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on June 2nd, 2025.